collaborative,
part of the community. The next idea. When we really see each other, we want to help each other.
You know, we live in a world of stereotypes, as disappointing as that can be sometimes, and here's one of them. Black women never take any guff from anyone, and they are always strong. Well, no one is always strong. Bad things in life happen, and we experience tragedies. So when an African-American woman, a strong woman, is struggling with loss, struggling with grief, where can she turn? Patrice Lucas is working on that. She says being a strong black woman frequently means feeling enormous pressure to hold in her feelings. Patrice Lucas joins me now. You are a facilitator of something called Where Do Black Women Go to Grieve? How did that group come about?
So it's actually not my own group. I'm the licensed mental health counselor that was invited to join the group at the invitation of Etta Fly of Naturally Fly Detroit. She experienced grief and loss about 3 years ago when her partner passed away. And in that experience, she wanted to create opportunity for other black women to have a place to not be okay. And in that, we partnered, and she invited me to come and kind of help her get this started and get her group, Where Do Black Women Go to Grieve, which is part of her organization, Good Grief Detroit, going and started. And from there, we began meeting every Monday, first and third Monday of the month, at her family's bakery, Sweet Potato Sensations.
Oh, yeah, I know where that's at. It's right across from Motor City Java, same block as Redford Theater.
That's right. So on a Monday evening, on the first and third of every month, Etta Fly opens her family's business when it's closed, and she invites black women into a safe place to grieve. She invited me along on that journey, and that's kind of where Do Black Women Go to Grieve all got started.
I know not everybody's the same, but I'm wondering what keeps black women from going to a grief counselor or something like that?
So it's really the stigma associated with mental health care in the black community. And that stigma really starts kind of anywhere any stigma starts. And it does start with the idea that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, that this idea of being strong, we have to be strong, we just have to keep going. But the reality is there hasn't been a luxury for African Americans and women specifically to have the opportunity to really explore their grief, explore their trauma, explore their pain. But a lot of times, you know, in the black community, we kind of want to fix our own problems, because when we share about our problems, we're marginalized even further because of them. And, you know, we have a strong religious beliefs and strong religious faith in the community. So a lot of times we think, oh, I'm going to take my troubles to the church. I'm going to pray about it. And culturally, we really just have not taken the opportunity for a lot of different reasons to not only participate in mental health care, but even in physical health care.
So how do you reach out to women who might need this help? Do you actively seek them out, or do they find out about you and come to you?
So Etta Fly and myself, one of the things that we do is we promote on social media. So we promote on both of our liked pages and business pages. At the bakery, Etta actually provides some flyers and information, and as people come in. And then it's really word of mouth. So for me, I have a client base, and I share with my clients because I do a lot of grief and loss work individually and in the community. So in that space, I share about my work. And I invite women to come to grief group. Etta does the same. I mean, literally, sometimes we are in the Whole Foods and people are stopping us like, hey, you guys do a grief group and I'm experiencing this. And then we invite them to come on over. So it's really referral-based, but also on social media and kind of word of mouth.
Are some of these women surprised about how grief is affecting their life?
Absolutely. So every group, the women are often surprised by, you know, the stories that is shared by other women, but also how they are impacted by grief and how it's really been, in a lot of ways, and sometimes crippling to their lives or impacting how they function, right? So again, you talked about this strong black woman. So when I talk about functioning with my individual clients or even with grief group, I kind of have to kind of buffer it or frame it for African Americans, because the reality is, since the days of slavery, we've always had to go to work regardless of what is happening in our personal lives. And again, that's really a luxury, a privilege to have the opportunity to really just sit down and take the time to process and rest. sometimes that's because of financial strains, but sometimes it's also cultural as well. And so what happens is they keep chugging along. They just keep doing what they do, being mamas and teachers and doctors and lawyers and showing up in their community in the way that we do and not having taken the time to process their grief. So they're surprised when they come to grief group, or they're surprised when other women are talking about it and they're hearing that idea of me too. It's hard for me too. Yeah, I go to work every day, but I cry in my car for 5 minutes or 50 minutes before I walk in the building, or I'm crying on lunch.
Yeah, I wanted to get to what happens to people when they don't have a safe place to express their grief.
So what happens is the grief actually manifests itself in the body as a physical symptom sometimes.
So, like stress does to you.
So absolutely, like stress. So it's a stressor on the body. And that stressor, grief, then in turn manifests sometimes into physical conditions. So that's where we get the headaches, and that's where we even get the stomach ailments. Sometimes it can even manifest itself into other sicknesses and disease into the body.
I have to ask you this. What do you get out of this? I mean, why put yourself through the emotion of someone else hurting so much?
So I do it because one of the things that really helped me in my own pain and loss and in my own traumas growing up is the community. So growing up, my father was a heroin addict, and my mother had what's called agoraphobic panic disorder. And for many, many years, I really did carry around the shame of that experience, my life experience. And then one day I'm literally kind of on the bus with a group of friends, cheerleaders at Persian High School, and we're catching a bus to Eastland Mall. And we just began to share. And everybody really in that space shared about maybe what their parent challenges were or their individual challenges, some of their trauma. And all of us was kind of just saying, me too. And from that day on, it was like a cloud, the shame cloud, was lifted off of me, right? And I didn't feel so alone in my pain. And from that moment, I wanted to help other people have that same experience. So that's why I went into counseling. I became an individual counselor, but also why I do groups and then why I go into the community to share about mental health, in particular grief.
After women who have gone through where do black women go to grieve and find improvement, do they keep in touch? Do they want to help as well?
So they do. Some women reach out and they support. We have a lot of different clinicians that come to the group. So surprisingly, it's clinician heavy. What that means is a lot of social workers come to the group, a lot of other mental health counselors, because, again, it's often hard for even what I sometimes call people in the healing professions to find the support and help they need. So what that happens is they then lend their support or offer referrals, or, you know, so many beautiful friendships have come out of grief group and sister circles and girl groups, and, you know, just new opportunities for some of the women has come up.
I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit. What do you want to say to all the strong black women out there who are holding in all those feelings of loss?
So I want to say that, number one, it's okay not to be okay. And it is absolutely not only a stereotype, but also a myth that everyone is always strong. I think that idea is killing the majority of us, right? And it's not just killing strong black women. It's killing strong white women. And it's also killing all of our very strong and powerful men. The idea that we must always be okay, or put on this mask of, I'm okay, I have it all together, look at me, I can still be fabulous and amazing and all these things. So it's okay not to be okay. And the real message is, I want to say that even as a licensed mental health counselor, even someone that does this work on a daily basis, there are times when I, too, am not okay. And so I just want to really say to them is, me too.
That is Patrice Lucas. She's with the group Where Do Black Women Go to Grieve? I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, and I appreciate you really opening up a platform for this conversation and more conversations about mental health.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.